Okay.
Okay.
Hi, guys.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome to Cocktail Hour.
Welcome as Steph vigorously shakes our cocktail.
I hurt my elbow. Yeah, welcome to Cocktails and Conspiracies. We're drinking
a lemon drop martini today.
Yep. Cool.
Cool. All right, guys.
Okay.
So everyone get your drinks up. Cheers.
Cheers.
Lemony.
And strong. All right, guys. This is going to be an interesting episode.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Every time we have martinis on here, I feel like it is just...
Yeah, get ready. Days. I can... That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's tasty.
We rimmed
did a sugar rim.
The rim with sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tasty.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So we're doing a lemon drop martini because we were trying to be classy, like one of our classiest presidents, JFK.
President JFK.
Guys,
we just want to salute the air.
Yeah. And I think, right hand, Caitlin. I've been trying to do more and more things with my left hand for some weird reason.
Good for you.
I don't know why. And it's very awkward, but I don't give up. I just keep.
Yeah.
Weird so fact about me. I can actually pretty easily and legibly write with my left hand, but I write, it's almost like a mirror image of my right hand. So like my left hand, I can write, but I'm going backwards across the opposite side of the page.
Oh, crazy.
But it kind of makes sense though, right?
Yeah, totally. I have to like think about it and write very slow. And it looks like...
A kindergartner's?
Maybe first grade.
Yeah. I remember in kindergarten, in like one of our practice books, you know, they have like the dotted lines and like stuff for you to do. So I remember one time writing out my name and then I had to write out my address. And I remember thinking as a kindergartner, looking at that workbook, like, there's no way I'm ever going to remember
you
that.
You remember thinking
yes,
that?
Yes. I remember how thinking funny. Like, how do like adults know that? I remember thinking like, there's no way I'll ever know this. I'll never remember this.
Okay. So in kindergarten, I thought I would never be able to tie my shoes. And my fucking bitch ass teacher, Mrs. Morrow, called me up, such a bitch. She called me up in the front of the class and made me tie my shoe in front of everyone. And she knew that I didn't know how. And my best friend, Madeline, came up and tied it for me in front of everyone. She was like, I'm sick of you not being able to tie your shoes, blah, blah, blah. So she's like, get up here and tie your shoe in front of everyone.
I bet she was going through a divorce or something.
Isn't that crazy? I mean? I'll never forget it.
Never. Don't ever, ever forget it.
Fuck you, Mrs. Morrow.
Well, fuck you, Mrs. Morrow, from Cocktails and Conspiracies, a conspiracy podcast with Tessie
and McDove. Oh, hey! That was good.
straight from us.
Yeah. Hate you, Mrs. Morrow.
Hate you.
But
so,
anyways.
Today, we are talking about the JFK assassination. Is
finally.
This our fourth attempt? Our fourth
I think
recording.
So, okay, funny story. We actually wanted this one to be our very first episode, our debut.
Oh, how naive we were.
Well, we had some technology issues. The microphones weren't plugged in the second time. And then we had just distractions.
We had major distractions.
To say the least. And couldn't get it quite right.
No.
And this one's so good.
It's so good, but so hard. So
it's very hard.
That's what she's on. So there's a list of all of these conspiracy theories that come straight from this assassination attempts. But if you've noticed, if you're up to date and you're current with all of our episodes, JFK and the assassination and then his family come up as part of other conspiracy theories constantly, like the Gemstone Files. We mentioned his dad in the Federal Reserve, how much like he made $100 million like before the crash happened, and
Marilyn Monroe,
he's in there. I mean,
he's all over the place. The whole family.
This one incident is prevalent through change our history, right? So, in saying that, what we're going to be we're going to be focusing on like a subset of this because there's no way that we could cover within an hour long podcast
there's
every
so
aspect
much.
Of this assassination. Like, people make their livings off of researching this. So,
and his life. I mean, he had a really interesting life too.
Oh my gosh, for sure.
He's such a slut.
Such a slut.
Yeah.
Loves love.
Loves it.
So what we're going to do, I'm just going to go over like the outline real quick just to let y'all know kind of what we're going to do. So we're going to cover a quick background of him, the timeline of the assassination day, and I'm going to go through some what the fuck moments, like just some weird stuff that happened and just some coincidences. I'm going to cover the Warren Commission file because that is actually a huge piece of why a lot of these conspiracy theories came up in the first place.
Yes.
And then we're going to focus on the one, the major point of contention is one gunman or two gunmen.
Yeah.
And there's good factual, support for both.
Now, as it's reported, there's only one gunman.
Right. Yeah. That was the original Warren Commission file.
Yeah. And they so go back and forth and
right. Can't so make up each of mind. Us will cover, support for the one gunman theory and then support for the multiple. And then we can just kind of list towards the end just all the other conspiracies tied to this.
Yeah.
So with that, that's kind of what we're going to cover today. I mean, there's a million other things, but I think this one is so interesting because it involves like their physics, the film, what was reported, and it's just crazy.
It really is so crazy, especially if you're not familiar with it.
Right.
Like, I can't believe this happened. Mm-mm. And apparently, the day that he was assassinated, literally the world changed. Mm-hmm. People were running around the streets, like, screaming and crying. People were collapsing. They were just so upset because he was such a beloved president.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So kick us off with the overview and background.
Okay, so quick overview of the assassination of JFK. Okay, he was our 35th president of the United States, and as he rode in a motorcade in Dallas, Texas on November 22nd, 1963, he was shot and killed. His accused killer was Lee Harvey Oswald, who was a former U.S. Marine. Oswald never stood trial for murder because when he was being transferred after being taken up into custody, he was shot and killed by Jack Ruby, who was a distraught Dallas nightclub owner. And so from the beginning, it's super sketchy.
It's so crazy.
So almost from the beginning, the killing of this popular young president was thought by many Americans to have been the result of a conspiracy rather than the act of an individual. So super crazy story, and that's what we're going to be focusing on today. But before we get into JFK's assassination, let's talk about him as a president. A man, a president, a lover.
I was about to say a lover, a president, an athlete.
Okay, so some of his accomplishments. He improved the economy. The U.S. was actually in a recession when Kennedy took office. He signed the Executive Anti-Recessionary Acceleration Program, which is really what helped us get out of this recession. Mm-hmm. Significant tax reform. There was a new investment tax credit. GDP expanded by over 5% during his presidency. Inflation remained steady at 1%. Industrial production rose by about 15%, and unemployment decreased.
And we also know that he tried to audit the Federal Reserve, but that didn't happen.
Did not happen, but he did try.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he got murdered.
Him and Abe.
Can't do it.
He established the Peace Corps and the Special Olympics.
Yeah.
He supported racial integration. He was very loved by the African American and Latino communities. Civil rights movement. He created the Equal Pay Act of 1963. Mm-hmm. Thank you, JFK. Women.
As women in business, WIBS.
We love it. And he essentially prevented World War III. Mm-hmm. So he did a lot in his, how long was he president? 2 years? 3 years? And then he got killed. But, he was a very, very sick young man. Well, he was a pervert, but also, sick.
Actually very ill.
Yeah. So they had, he actually had his final rites read to him
in
four
his life.
Fucking
I
times.
I have that as a...
How crazy is that? Yeah, he had Addison's disease. I know that he had an appendectomy. He got really hurt in the war. Mm-hmm. Just like... And basically
feel,
a cat.
And I feel like that really, you know, him accepting death at such a young age, or the possibility of death.
Yeah.
Like, kind of, it, you know, it had to change his state of mind. Like, in a good way. Like, you know what? I could die any day, so let's see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I mean, there were some admirable things about him, but, like, let's not get it twisted. That whole Kennedy family was fucked up. And, like,
right?
He did some, I mean, I don't know, like, as a person, how great he was, just because his whole family was just so messed up.
Well, and, like, the curse of the Kennedys.
Well, yeah, and you've got to think they almost bring it upon themselves, like...
Like, half of his brothers and sisters died, and we were, like, tragically.
Right, and we were just talking about this in the kitchen before we started recording. Like, I don't trust any super, super, super wealthy person that has any kind of political pull. I think I read that he was the second most wealthiest president.
Really?
He was worth $1 billion when he became serious? A president.
I had no idea.
Donald Trump is the most wealthy at $3.5 billion.
Wow. I didn't realize he was worth that much.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
D-Trump.
So you got to think, like, I feel like all of these aspects about his family, about his life, about his wealth, about their lineage, like, you, it almost brought it upon them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Speaking of family.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Well, let's talk about his love life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was such a slut. And, I mean, I don't know how else to say it. He just loved to have sex. And I think Jackie Kennedy was not okay with it, but, there was nothing she could do. She's like, whatever, fuck it.
And if she wanted that lifestyle, that's what she was going to have to put up with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she basically had to accept it. Mm-hmm. A few of his lovers that we want to mention. Marlene Dietrich. This is weird. So she's a German actress, sex symbol of 1930. She moved to California from Germany after the debut of Blue Angel, which is the film that made her famous. Mm-hmm. She lived with Mercedes DaCosta, who was a well-known socialist lesbian. Apparently had a relationship with her as well.
Why not?
Then she got married. She had an open marriage. And Marlene would allegedly go on to have an affair with Joe Kennedy, JFK's dad.
Yeah. Ugh.
And then years later, when she was fucking 60 years old. 60.
Mm.
Cougs. She's left with JFK in the White House. Yeah. But what is that? Like, Eskimo father-son?
Eskimo brothers.
So they'd be Eskimo, but it's your dad.
I know, gross.
Sick. Okay, so Marlene Dietrich, old lady, slept with his pops, and then with JFK. So let's go on the other side of the spectrum. Mimi Alfred was a 19-year-old White House intern. She met JFK while taking a swim in the White House pool. He introduced himself and later that day invited her for drinks after work. So I guess, like, she made it. She made the cut.
She took a dip in the pool. Yeah. Like, perks. Purse girlfriend.
Right?
Probably got, like, $1
that
a day.
White House pool. Yeah. So he gave her a tour of the White House, which, according to her, led to him seducing her and taking her virginity. She was a virgin.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Bad boy.
Can you imagine losing your virginity to the president?
No.
Wow. Mm. Yeah. So this was the start of an 18-month affair. And in her memoir, she wrote that... is what kills me. In her memoir, she writes, JFK dared her to give David Powers, who is a White House aide, a blowjob while in the White House pool while he watched.
That's sick.
That's gross.
That's just an abuse of power.
I agree.
Because what are you going to do? That's almost
well, you're 19,
like,
so it's not like you...
I feel really sorry for her.
Yeah. Fucking crazy, right?
That's gross.
I know.
I didn't know that.
I know.
Ew. See, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, personally, I don't know if he was that great of a guy.
Totally agree.
So, guys, all in moderation.
Yeah. Okay, so Marilyn Monroe, they first met in February 1962. She sings her infamous Happy Birthday, Mr. President. He gets her number and invites her up to Palm Springs the next month, where they spend a week shacked up at Bing Crosby's house,
so what
which
is
was
he
the
telling,
extent of
like,
the affair.
Jackie, like, what is he saying? Like,
I don't
I'm going
know.
Away, like, for business?
I don't know, but interesting thing is Monroe fell really hard for him. And it was even rumored that she called Jackie and told her, we're in love, I want to be the first lady, blah, blah, blah. apparently Jackie was like, okay, Marilyn, yeah, you'll marry Jack, you'll move into the White House, you'll be the first lady, whatever. Like, you can have all my problems, that's fine.
Because she knew, like, that was never going to happen.
Yeah.
Probably almost felt sorry for her.
Because she was desperate. I mean, she really fell hard for him.
Yeah.
And he probably, I mean, it sounds like he was kind of a little bit of a player. So I'm sure he told her some stuff that she wanted to hear. Or told her everything she wanted to hear.
Yeah. And he had no repercussions.
No, he could do it. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
Okay, so Judith Campbell, ex of Frank Sinatra. She would go on to be the mistress of mob boss Sam Giancana. Mm-hmm. And apparently she aborted JFK's child. Who knows, though?
Oh, my gosh.
Ellen Romich is a German prostitute who was an Elizabeth Taylor lookalike. He met her at some club. They did the nasty a few times. I would love to
be known as an Elizabeth Taylor lookalike.
Right? I'll take it.
All right.
And there are also allegations with Ellen that Bobby Kennedy tried to have her deported in fear that she might hurt JFK's upcoming campaign for re-election.
Oh, Bobby.
Mary Mayer. We actually talked about her in the Marilyn Monroe. Mm-hmm. Remember Mistress Mary Mayer was murdered? So hard. Such a tongue twister. She was his good friend since prep school. She married and later divorced a CIA agent. Her sister was married to someone high up at the Washington Post, which put her basically in the same social circle as the president. Mm. And there's another conspiracy that her death was ordered by officials who didn't want the president to be influenced by her socialist views, because she was literally shot execution style, like out of the blue in 1964, mm-hmm. and her murder to this day remains unsolved. All right, so Blade Star, which is the strippiest name I've ever heard.
Strippiest.
Yeah. Blade Star, she was a famous burlesque dancer that he met in 1954. Apparently they had a wild affair. And then Pamela Tournier, his wife's press secretary.
That's gross. Gross.
Yeah. So he was
He keeps it close to home, slut. Doesn't he?
I mean, it's almost like whatever he can put his dick into.
And think about, like, the culture of that time, too. I keep alluding to this, but it is so true. It's like, if there was no Me Too movement, there was no, like...
No, women were afraid to defend themselves.
Well, they were still secondhand citizens a little bit. Mm-hmm. They really were.
Yeah. I mean, he's the one that passed the Equal Pay Act.
Yeah. So, of course, they're not going to, like... Either, nobody's, like, brawny enough to, like, file a lawsuit against the fucking president, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Jackie.
Poor Jackie. Mm. So, any more lovers?
Well, those are the main ones that we wanted
that
to
know. That we know of.
Oh, no. There are so many more. I mean, I literally, it would take hours to list all of his lovers. And I'm not kidding. These are just the ones that stuck out to me.
Yeah.
It's nonstop. I mean, the list goes on and on.
That's nuts. Yeah. That's crazy.
Huge slut.
So I'm going to move on to the actual events of that day. So
the day that he was murdered,
or like the Australians say, murdered.
Little teaser for next week.
Oh my God. Ah. So the night before, he was in Fort Worth and he did make this comment. He basically said, like, this would have been the perfect day to assassinate the president.
Yeah.
Like, he
this
said that
to Jackie.
Would have been
one hell of a night to kill a president.
Right. Exactly. And then the next day it happened. So
what,
that's
the
weird.
Fuck?
So freaking weird. So Friday, November 22nd at 12:30 a.m., Lee Harvey Oswald and his wife Marina, even though they were not living together, they still kind of, like, saw each other. So he showed up on a Thursday evening, and he was supposed to have showed up to her place on Friday night. So he showed up a night early, the night, you know, before.
Right.
And she noticed that at 12:30 a.m. he was still awake. So he was a night early and he was still awake. So at 6:30 he gets out of bed after a restless night and gets ready for work. Before he leaves the house, he takes off his wedding ring and leaves it in a cup on top of his wife's dresser. He takes $170 out of his wallet and then leaves the wallet with his wedding ring. just sketchy. He gets a ride into work at the Texas School Book Depository, and he's carrying something long and tells this guy that he hitched a ride with that there are curtain rods for his room in the boarding house, because that's where he was living, because he wasn't living with Marina, his wife.
Why are you hiding those curtain rods? Curtain rods.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So this is interesting. So at 7 a.m., JFK is at Hotel Texas getting ready for his day. He's going to give a speech outside the hotel, give a speech to the Chamber of Commerce inside, and then leave. Oh, this is in Fort Worth at 7 a.m. Leave Fort Worth for Dallas. So that morning he woke up and, like, drove to Dallas. So then, so this is interesting. When he picked up the Dallas Morning News, he sees the infamous Black Border ad, which is accusing him of treason. He also sees a prediction from Richard Nixon that Kennedy will be dropping Johnson from the ticket. So there's just all this shit going on,
oh,
right?
Oh, wow. Drama, drama.
Drama. So at 10 a.m., the weather starts clearing up in Dallas, and Kennedy made it clear that he wants to be accessible to the people, and he wants the bubble top off of the presidential limo as much as possible. Does not want Secret Service agents on the back of his limo either. He wants to be seen as accessible. And,
which is so eerie that he's the one that requested that.
No. Not smart. So, Hotel Texas, give me a little bit. Oh, and here's where he says it. So at 10:30 a.m., like before they leave for Dallas, he remarks to Jackie, you know, last night would have been a hell of a night to assassinate a president, in reference to their late night motorcade through Fort Worth.
Dun, dun, dun. Wow. If that's not foreshadowing.
I don't know what is. At 11:50 a.m. on Friday, November 22nd, multiple co-workers see Oswald on the first floor of the book depository eating lunch. Simultaneously, the motorcade leaves Love Field to begin the motorcade through Dallas. At 12:29 p.m., the president's limo turns onto Elm Street. The first shot is fired, missing the president. A fragment from the bullet or debris from the street hit James Taug, who was watching the motorcade in Dealey Plaza. At 12:30 p.m., the second shot is fired, causing Kennedy to go into Thorne Burns position. This is a very common neurological response to spinal damage.
So this one hit him.
Mm-hmm. The third shot is fired, hitting the president on the back, right side of his head, causing a portion of his head behind his right ear to blow out. Right after the third shot is fired, Sheriff Bill Decker orders Dallas police officers to the railroad tracks behind the fence on the grassy knoll, which is like this little hill that was right by the street. Oswald gets a Coca-Cola from the soda machine in the book depository and starts walking out of the buildings after being stopped briefly by Dallas police officer Marion Baker. Oswald walks past NBC's Robert McNeil, who is looking for a phone to call in the shooting. So he's just like, cool as
so
a cucumber,
casual,
just
yeah.
Walking out.
Drinking his Coca-Cola.
Just getting a Coke, thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
12:35 p.m., the presidential limo arrives at Parkland Memorial Hospital, where 24740, white male, suffering from a gunshot wound, is admitted and brought to trauma room 1. Secret Service agent Roy Kellerman, who is in charge in Dallas, calls the head of Secret Service, Jerry Benn, to report that JFK has been hit. Dr. Charles Crenshaw enters and notes there's a large wound on the back of the president's head, as well as a small hole in his throat. They use this hole to perform a tracheotomy in order to open Kennedy's airwave. 12:45 p.m., Oswald gets on a bus 7 blocks from the Texas School Book Depository. The bus isn't moving much because of the traffic in Dealey Plaza. Shortly after boarding, he gets off and gets into a cab driven by William H. Whaley, which he takes back to his boarding house where he changes and gets his pistol. So, 12:57 p.m. I mean, this happened so fast.
Yeah.
That's the thing that is just crazy to me.
This is within, like, seconds and minutes.
So, at this time, a priest arrives. their Kennedy's aide, Ken O'Donnell, tells them to get a casket ready. The president is already technically dead, but Jackie is worried about him receiving his Catholic last rites before he died. So this would be his, like, fourth rite.
Is it fourth or fifth?
I think it's fourth.
I don't know.
So that was at 12:57. At about 1 o'clock, he's dead. Like, he's proclaimed dead. At 1:40, Oswald runs into a movie theater that is playing the film War is Hell. He is seen sneaking in, and police start to search the theater.
Okay.
The lights are raised, and an officer, Nick McDonald, spots Oswald in the seat. So we got in. He's sitting down in the movie. McDonald, the police officer, walks up to Oswald, who said, "This is it," and pulls out a revolver. As they fight, the officer gets his finger in front of the pistol's hammer so the gun will not go off. Oswald punches the officer in the face, and the officer punches back, giving Oswald a black eye. At 2 p.m., Secret Service agent Roy Kellerman gets into an argument with Dallas County Medical Examiner Dr. Earl Rose. The Kennedy Party wants his body put into a casket and want to leave the hospital. At this point, killing a president is not a federal offense. Because of this, the medical examiner argues that the autopsy has to be performed before the body is taken from Dallas. Lyndon B. Johnson orders the body to be released, but the medical examiner refuses. Finally, he is overridden by Dallas District Attorney Henry Wade, who only agrees to release the body if Admiral Dr. Berkeley, Kennedy's private physician, promises to stay with the body until it is put in the casket for the final time. So they didn't do an autopsy, which is weird.
Well, they did an autopsy. They didn't do it right away.
Right. But that's weird. So many things could go wrong and be weird.
Oh, for sure. They did it at Bethesda Naval Hospital the night of November 22nd and into the early mornings. The doctors removed the wounded brain and sealed it in a leak-proof stainless steel cylindrical container with a screw-top lid before he was embalmed. They failed to place his brain back in his head. So he's buried without his brain.
So gross.
And this was actually stored in a cabinet in the Secret Service office of the Executive Office of the President. Then it was put in a footlocker with other medical evidence and transferred to the National Archives, where it was placed in a secure room designated for the use of JFK's former secretary, Evelyn Lincoln, while she organized his presidential papers. And then one day, all the contents in the locker disappeared.
Of course they did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And an investigation failed to recover the brain. So we don't know where his brain is. We don't know who took it, but that's key evidence.
Yes.
Which is just, I mean, it just adds to the sketchiness of this whole thing.
It is. Oh, there's so many things that went wrong. It's nuts. So at 3 p.m., Oswald's first interrogation has started. He had at that point been charged with killing of a police officer, not charged with the president yet.
Right.
Right.
J.P. Tippett, I think. Mm-hmm.
It was Officer Tippett, yeah. Okay, so at 4 p.m., Oswald waits for his first lineup with Helene Markham, the witness to Officer Tippett's murder. While waiting, Oswald is searched, and 5 bullet cartridges are found in his pocket. So there's 12 a.m., you know, the interrogation starts, and then Saturday, November 23rd at 1:35 a.m., Oswald is officially told he has been charged with Kennedy's murder.
Okay, well, I'm gonna, while you fix that, I wanna play this.
I'd like some legal representation. These police officers have not allowed me to have any. I don't know what this is all about. I work in that building.
Were you in the building at the time?
Naturally, if I work in that building, yes, sir.
Back up, man.
No, they're taking me in because of the fact that I live in Missouri. I'm just a patsy.
President.
One thing that I thought was so weird is how fast they apprehended him, a white male in Dallas in the 60s, like how they find him so fast. That is my, that's the big kind of uh-oh moment to
me. The fact that he says, I'm a patsy.
Yeah, that's weird. So there's a really interesting interview with Clint Hill, who is the...
My dad met him.
Your dad met him?
He talked to him.
Did you like him?
Loved him.
Yeah.
Loved Clint.
Yeah, I liked
He's the one
interview.
That jumped on the back of the...
The Secret Service lead, right?
Yeah, so he was Jackie's number one.
Right. So in this interview with him, like some of the things that he brought up that I was interesting was he did talk about how... as the crowd began to build, they, as the Secret Service group, had been told the president preferred them not to be on the back of the presidential car. So he said from a Secret Service perspective that they tried to keep the car as far away from the right side of the street as possible. JFK was on the right side. So they were trying to, like, scoot him over away from all the people.
Yeah.
So... when they turned down on Elm, it was a sharp turn. So the driver had to really slow down to make that turn. He watched an interview and he described looking past the car and saw that JFK got shot, but he didn't hear it. And he said it looked like a scoop was taken out of his head and brain.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So here's some what the fuck moment. So, like, we talked about the night before, he kind of predicted his death. And we're going to talk about the Zapruder's film. Zapruder's film, duh. That was like a 26-second piece of film that was taken by this bystander, basically, on his day, and he caught the whole thing. Even though it's too brittle now to run through a projector, 1999, the government paid... the heirs $16 million for it.
It's crazy. There's a lot of controversy around the Zapruder film, too, that it was actually edited. So at the time, the FBI, this is when everyone trusted the government, right?
Yeah.
They required everyone turn in all cameras, photography, videos, anything that they had that day to the FBI so they can do a full-on investigation. Mm-hmm. There's actually another very famous film filmed by Orville Nix, and he was on the opposite side of the street.
Oh,
of
really?
The Zapruder. So we've all heard the famous Zapruder film. It's a silent home movie showing JFK being assassinated. And if you haven't seen it, it's fucking crazy. Orville Nix filmed it on the opposite side of the street and claims to have filmed a second gunman from the grassy knoll. Gail Nix Jackson is Orville Nix's granddaughter, and she was in downtown Dallas the day her grandfather took the famous Nix film of the JFK assassination. In 1988, 25 years after he sold his film to UPI, Gail negotiated with the now defunct company to have the film returned to her family. It was at that time that she found the original film was missing, and she's been searching for it ever since. She actually filed a lawsuit.
Wow.
Against the government to get that movie back.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And if you watch it, I mean, it's not as clear as the Zapruder film, which is probably why it's so famous, but it's at a totally different angle.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, here's some weird stuff. So November 11th, 1963, JFK laid a Veterans Day wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington National Cemetery. He would be buried at that cemetery exactly 2 weeks later.
What?
Yeah. So this was the first since the Secret Service began protecting presidents that set the precedent of the Secret Service and their tactics. And It was I know that the first time we tried to record it, we really did focus on, like, how few Secret Service were around, for sure.
Yes.
So JFK was the target of at least four assassination attempts. So in 1960, an ex-postal worker tried to blow him up with dynamite, blow up a building he was in. There was one... They discovered plans for an assassination in Tampa and Chicago and, of course, lastly, Dallas. Crazy.
You would think that they would be more, like on their toes, ready to...
It's,
ready for anything, and they wouldn't let him drive with the fucking top down.
They didn't know. They didn't have any of these checks and balances in place. The last kind of crazy thing, he told a Secret Service agent, JFK quoted, "There is no way to keep anyone from killing me."
Oh my God, he said that?
So after a nearly year-long investigation, the commission led by Chief Justice Earl Warren concluded that the alleged gunman, Lee Harvey Oswald, had acted alone in assassinating America's 35th president, and that there was no conspiracy, either domestic or international, involved. That's the crux of their findings. So
God, that's such bullshit, though. Ugh.
So
give us more.
Right. Before the release of the actual Warren Commission report, a Gallup poll in 1964 found that only 29% of Americans thought Oswald acted alone, while 52% believed in some kind of conspiracy. A few months after the release of the report, 87% of respondents believed Oswald shot the president. Basically, they 87 were like, oh, the government said. They convinced
them. Yeah.
Well, so before hearing what the government had to say after a year-long investigation, everyone was like, oh, no, it can't be just one person. But then, because of the times and because of the, you know, people did with their faith and what the government said, 87% were like, okay, yeah, that's what happened. The government said it. Kind of feel sorry for him, right?
Well, you also have witnesses saying, like, they definitely heard more than three gunshots. You have a lot, we have a lot of witnesses saying that, too.
But then, you know what? In the heat of the moment, people can question what they heard.
Exactly, yeah.
Especially if they believe, like, the government did this huge investigation with all their resources. They're like, well, you know, I'm only me. I must be wrong.
Your brain and your memory is so powerful. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I would second guess, too, to be honest.
I would, too. But that just adds to the question.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So in December 1978, over, you know, 14 years later, the House Select Committee on Assassinations re-looked into the case. So the House of Representatives started this committee. They looked into the case. So after 2 years of work, they concluded that although Oswald was the assassin, there was a conspiracy involving a second gunman. As a result, the House committee came to the bizarre conclusion that there was a second shooter on the grassy knoll, and the shooter fired at the president but missed. So this is important because at just the time that Americans were learning that the government lied to them about Vietnam and Watergate, they now discovered it had lied about aspects of the assassination of President Kennedy. The CIA and the FBI had lied to the commission. The reasoning went that they had clearly something to hide. So, and that didn't help. But then, if you read into some more research, there has been the recent reviews of the House of Representatives, that committee. It was so wishy-washy. Like, that's the problem. Like, they said, oh, this is weird. But they didn't give concrete evidence. So then everybody was like, I don't trust anybody. But that report wasn't sound. Like, it wasn't, like, a concrete report again.
Right.
Like, they even after 2 years, they just couldn't come to a conclusion, right? So then a New York Times CBS News poll in 1988 found 13% of Americans believed Mr. Oswald acted alone.
13%.
10 years later.
Jesus.
Yes. So, you know, what went wrong with all of this stuff? So, I have a great link. It's 9 things you may not know about the Warren Commission.
Let's hear them.
That's really great. Oh, do you want to?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
All right. Some members of the commission were reluctant to serve on it. So, yeah. LBJ initially resisted the idea of forming a federal commission to investigate, preferring to allow the state of Texas to review what he called a local killing. But after learning that both the U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives were considering launching their own inquiries, the newly installed president assembled the Warren Commission in the hope of avoiding multiple and possibly conflicting reports on the shooting.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to do it at first, but then he's like, oh, if other people are going to do it, I'd rather have the main one. So,
and LBJ was kind of an asshole too.
He wanted the commission to include members from each of the different branches of government, but many of his preferred choices were hesitant to participate. Nobody wanted to touch this. Chief Justice Earl Warren turned down the opportunity to chair the commission multiple times and only agreed after Johnson argued that an inadequate report could incite a public panic and even spark a nuclear war. This is just crazy. But so anyways, he basically told everybody like participation in this commission was necessary for the good of America. Gerald Ford secretly provided information on the commission to the FBI. So he was a leading member of the Warren Commission. Future U.S. President Gerald Ford also acted as an inside informant for J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI.
Mm-hmm. J. Edgar Hoover was head of the FBI at the time of the assassination.
Mm-hmm. So several months after his death in 2006, a cache of declassified documents revealed that Ford had approached FBI Assistant Director Kartha DeLoach and offered to confidently keep the Bureau informed on the commission's deliberations. So sketchy. Among Ford's many leaks was the revelation that two unnamed members of the commission, most likely Richard Russell and Hale Boggs, remained unconvinced by FBI evidence that the shot had been fired from the Texas School Book Depository.
Yeah.
Earl Warren suppressed key evidence from the commission. Chief Justice Earl Warren was a close friend of the Kennedy family, and he denied his fellow commission members access to Kennedy's autopsy photos because he deemed them too disturbing. He later refused to allow the commissions to interview certain witnesses whom Lee Harvey Oswald may have known in Mexico, and even tried to block an interview with the First Lady Jackie Kennedy because he didn't want to invade her privacy.
I could see that, though.
But it's necessary.
Okay, so photos, he doesn't want to take, he doesn't want to publicize those photos. Well, I can understand that.
No, not publicize, just to the commission that's doing the investigation.
Oh, that's weird.
Like, they're looking into it. They need to talk to Jackie. They need to see the photos. They're the ones ruling or figuring out what the hell happened. It's not for the public. It's for this commission of our government.
Yeah, that's
sketchy. That's fact. The commission secretly interviewed Fidel Castro.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What's he going to say, though? We tried to assassinate him.
Many believe that Fidel Castro may have conspired in Kennedy's murder, and it turns out that the Cuban dictator personally proclaimed his innocence in an off-the-record interview with the Warren Commission. At one point in the investigation, one of the commission's lawyers met face-to-face with Fidel Castro on a fishing boat off the coast of Cuba. During a three-hour exchange, Castro repeatedly denied having any involvement in the assassination. No notes were taken during the secret rendezvous, and only Earl Warren and one other investigator were ever made aware of it.
That's very sketchy.
Well, but I mean, it had to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't think they had
anything to do with it either. Especially because of the whole Bay of Pigs invasion and how that, it's not...
Yeah, JFK really... Screw the pooch on that one.
He really did. Yeah.
The FBI and the CIA intentionally misled the commission. So the FBI and CIA had monitored Lee Harvey Oswald in the months before the assassination, but both agencies later tried to downplay their knowledge of him to the Warren Commission. Like, oh, we don't know who he is. But they had been monitoring him. Oswald had once...
Myers.
I know. Oswald had once left a threatening note for an FBI agent in the Bureau's office in Dallas. Fearful of catching blame for not preventing the assassination, the FBI later destroyed the note and even removed the agent's name from a typewriter transcript of Oswald's address book provided to the Warren Commission.
How is the FBI able to do all of this shit?
They have certain jurisdiction, I guess.
They're not that powerful, though. Like, who... Yeah, I guess there's no one above the FBI.
So, let's see.
Weird.
So, one of the congressmen... That Congressman Hale Boggs that I mentioned earlier would later say that the FBI director, J. Edgar Hoover, lied his eyes out to the commission's investigators. Evidence also suggests that the CIA, so this is not the FBI, so the FBI was monitoring him. The CIA had Oswald under surveillance when he made a trip to Mexico in September 1963 and visited the Cuban and Soviet embassies. But the agency repeatedly denied any connection to the alleged shooter.
Why lie?
I don't know. The CIA also neglected to inform the commission about its many covert operations in Cuba, including several schemes to assassinate Fidel Castro, even though those revelations might have helped shape the investigation. So this is one we know. The commission offered no clear explanation of Oswald's motive. They never, and this is one thing that I remember talking about to you earlier, is that in a normal murder investigation, you always look for motive. Mm-hmm. That's like one of the first things, and they didn't ever offer that up. The commission, it says, the report would later conclude the commission does not believe it can ascribe to him any one motive or group of motives. They didn't give anything.
God, what a hard investigation.
Both Lyndon B. Johnson and members of the Kennedy family privately disagreed with the commission's report. Although they praised the Warren Commission report in the media, many government leaders had serious misgivings about its findings. One of those commission members that I mentioned earlier, Richard Russell, later admitted to having lingering dissatisfaction with many of its conclusions. Congressman Hale Boggs had similar doubts about the report, in particular the single bullet theory, and the argument that one shot had struck both the President Kennedy and Texas Governor John Colony.
It's actually a great segue into the magic bullet theory.
Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so basically, in order for one bullet to hit both Kennedy and Governor Colony, which in the places that the Warren Commission claims it did, the bullet would have to freeze in midair, turn 90 degrees, amongst other impossible movements that literally defy the laws of physics, in order to move where the Warren Commission said it moved, this one bullet. But however, due to government Colony seating position, this was kind of a weird setup. He was seated like 3 inches lower because he's in the middle and slightly to the left, and he's kind of leaning over because he's waving, right? Dale Meyer shows that the magic bullet did not have to zigzag or stop in midair. He said that literally it could have gone right through Kennedy's head into the knee of Governor Colony. But many do not agree. So a recent, very interesting acoustical study in 2016 reported that the gunshot-like sounds from a grassy knoll to the right of the motorcade and timing it to when the president was killed was exact. So they're basically saying that they did an acoustical study, mm-hmm. and if you were on the grassy knoll, it matched up perfectly to the timing of when the president was killed. The study analyzes recordings made on 2 separate police channels that were accidentally left on that day in 1963, and both of the recordings support gunshots coming from the grassy knoll, which is on the opposite side of the Texas Depository building. So that's saying that there's definitely more than one gunman. And then we have, in 1994, a man named James Earl Files claims to have shot Kennedy. In a prison interview, he said there was collusion between the mafia and the CIA to kill Kennedy. He was a Vietnam War veteran that was part of the CIA team that trained the militia for the Bay of Pigs invasion in Cuba in 1961.
It is just very hard for me to believe anything that anyone says.
Yeah. But when Kennedy called for a halt to the covert operation, a big part of the agency was apparently pissed. They were scared that Kennedy was going to shut down the CIA. And this was actually a big fear of everyone in this agency. They would all lose their jobs, highly paid jobs. So Files, this guy that admits to killing Kennedy or shooting Kennedy, he was kicked out of the military. He joined the Chicago Mafia and apparently worked very closely with mob boss Sam Giancana. Mm-hmm. According to the Files, they called in mobsters to carry out the assassination. On the morning of the assassination, Files said he was joined by at least 3 other men stationed at the Grassy Knoll, a building near the Texas Book Depository, and throughout the motorcade route. File said that he was ordered to go for a headshot if Kennedy had not been hit by the time the cavalcade came into his view. And he said he's the one that fired the shot that blew his head off. Dr. Joseph Riley independently concluded that JFK was shot by two bullets, one from the front and one from the back. Dr. Randy Robertson, and these are both neurosurgeons, came up with the same conclusion, quoting, "It is a medical and scientific fact that the damage done to the president's skull did not result in a single shot." Okay, think about that. It is a medical and scientific fact. Mm-hmm. He's saying this. That the damage done to the president's skull did not result in a single shot, but instead was caused by two bullets. And a shit ton of doctors came to the same conclusion. So a few other things that support Lee Harvey Oswald either didn't shoot him or didn't shoot him alone. He was only made a marksman, which is like, I think there's like expert and pro after that.
Okay.
So he wasn't like the top.
Right.
The top of the top. But they have made arguments that from 80 feet away or however far away he is, you can make that shot, even if the car's moving.
And I just think that's so, like, all of his actions that day, he was such a sketchball. Like,
yeah. No, for sure. But there were no fingerprints on the rifle. No gunfire residue was found on Oswald's cheek.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a witness of Oswald talking to a coworker while purchasing that Coke. And they both heard the shots and, like, looked into each other's eyes like, oh, my God, what the fuck was that? So,
yeah, I just
fucking know. Everyone's dead now.
I don't know. It's just also freaking,
I mean,
hard.
I don't think we'll ever know, but
it's so old. The case is so old.
It's so old, but there's so much, like, sketchiness.
Inconsistencies.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So, here are some things that would support the one gunman theory. And to be honest, I usually have opinions on stuff. I don't have an opinion on this case.
I have no
idea. I'm very confused.
Yeah.
So, here's some attempts throughout our time that have been, to prove the theory that Lee Harvey Oswald was the only shooter. So, I heard this on TimeSuck, the podcast. So, Penn and Teller, they're not the most, like, obviously, like, scientific duo. They're those magicians that have that Penn and Teller, like, huge show in Las Vegas forever. Like, they're really well known.
No clue.
If you saw a picture of them, I think you'd know who they were.
Like Blue Man Group?
Like a show in Las Vegas. So they had this really well-known classic show called Bullshit. And they talked about a bullet hitting JFK from the back that could actually pull his head back.
Right.
So, like, to support the shot from the back of the head. So they argue that the force of the brain matter pushing at the front pulls it back. And there's a YouTube video of a melon that they use to prove this theory. You mentioned Dale Myers, who is a graphic artist that broke down the video and the magic bullet theory. And because of the angle of Texas governor being slightly below JFK, it's possible to trace a straight line back towards Oswald.
And physicists say that it is possible for your head to sling back even if you're shot from behind because your brain matter forces
it's whiplash.
Yeah, it's like, yes, exactly, it's whiplash
because so your brain matter is keep going forward because of your neck, because of everything. So are we physicists? I don't think so, but like, I mean,
definitely not,
because I know we talked about that Dale Myers, but like, I could believe either or on that physical physicist size. So actually, in the most recent study, it came out earlier this year in 2018, disputes both the multiple gunman and the grassy knoll theory. So this guy, Nicholas Nolly, he's a senior research scientist at IMSG Incorporated, created a model of the mechanics of the gunshot wound itself to explain where the bullet may have come from. So when Nolly studied the, and I can't say it, Zapruder, say that? Okay.
Yeah.
Film. He noticed that the president's head snapped forward at the moment that the bullet hit his skull. This, he hypothesized, meant the president had shot him from behind. So plenty of information about the crime has been public for years, and Nolly drew from that well of data to create a model of the physical process of the gunshot wound. His model took things like mass, speed of the bullet, and measurements into account.
He combined that information with the shutter speed of the film that documented the shooting. Mm-hmm. The model then calculated how the bullet would have acted when it entered JFK's skull if it had came from behind. It confirmed Nolly's theory and shows that it's unlikely that the president was shot from the grassy knoll in front of him. The president, so here's a quote from this guy. The president's reactions just after the projectile impact were physically consistent with a gunshot wound caused by a high-energy Carcano military rifle bullet fired from the vicinity of the book depository. The model shows that the wound wasn't where the bullet exited, but where it entered. It demonstrates that a temporary cavity formed inside the president's soft tissue as the momentum and kinetic energy of the bullet smashed into his skull, creating his head to snap forward. Based on his model, Nolly also thinks that the theory of the second shooter and that of the president being shot by hollow point or soft point bullets are also unlikely. Not only were such bullets never recovered, he writes, but the movement of Kennedy's head are only consistent with a shot from the back. And that's super, like, that is super recent. And I was not able to find anything to say, like, oh, Nolly's full of bullshit.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, like.
I don't know either.
I really don't know. I'll just roll through, because I have them right here, like, some of the major conspiracies.
Yes.
So, it's like, why was he killed? We still don't know why. There's a million reasons why, but we don't know the reason why.
No, we never will.
So here's some major ones, like some major people that would have wanted to kill him. The mafia.
Frank Sinatra just had like a big boy crush on him and was mm-hmm. upset that he didn't want to be friends with him anymore.
Mm-hmm. And he also slept with his ex.
And he also slept with his ex and probably a few of his exes. Let's be honest. He probably slept with half of the U.S.
Right. So Cuba, I mean, you know, I just talked about the CIA withholding information about the Castro plots. It just... I don't think that's right, but there's really no evidence tying the Castro government to the assassination. I mean, there really isn't.
Yeah.
This our own CIA or our own government.
Could CIA, it, I believe. If they think that their whole agency is about to be shut down. Mm-hmm.
That takes some big balls right there.
Yeah, but to kill your own president.
I know. So I feel like, you know, it's the... What's that idea that the simplest answer is
Occam's razor.
Occam's razor. That's a nerdy Star Trek thing, I think.
Occam's razor is the principle from philosophy that suppose there exists two explanations for an occurrence. In this case, there's one that requires the least speculation, and there's one that requires the most speculation. And in Occam's razor, the one that requires the least speculation is usually better. And so basically, the simplest answer is usually the answer.
And I agree with that because, so honestly, like, I'm not saying it's not possible for a big, like, government conspiracy cover-up because it's happened, but look at how many rando, unknown people just kill these very important, very protected, very famous people. Like, I mean, look at, you know, Abe Lincoln. He was killed by just some rando that didn't like him. Like, people get killed all the time by random. Look at Selena. Yolanda killed her. I hate that. I hate that story. But, like, people just
Yolanda.
Get all the time.
Are we overthinking it? It's just a huge fucking coincidence that the guy that supposedly assassinated our president was killed before his trial, and then the guy that killed him died in prison
from a heart attack, right?
And he cancer. Oh. And he already had cancer.
So do you think someone was like, we'll take care of your family if you do this because you're dying anyway?
I mean, it's a stretch, but it's a theory.
But I do, there is a big part of me that is like, has no problem thinking like Lee Harvey Oswald like just did it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there is more to it.
Oh, I'm sure.
But we'll never know.
No, we'll never know. So, that's the last question. Will we ever know what happened?
No, I don't think we will.
I don't think there's anything in those hidden, like, confidential files that say anything.
Well, and now everyone's dead.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So, that's that.
That is that. That's all we can do. What do you guys think?
My question is, why all the secrecy for decades?
Yeah.
The death of a singular individual as high profile as JFK, I don't think anything has been covered up or, like, not, you know, open to the public as much as him. So why?
I don't know.
That's my only misgiving is, like, why has it been sealed for so long?
Yeah. I want to hear all the theories and opinions. If you guys have anything to add, send us an email. This is an ongoing conspiracy. Like, this is obviously, because it's not solved.
People will talk about this forever.
Yeah,
for sure. So, guys, follow us on our Instagram. Please email us your ideas and topics.
Yeah.
We will 100% do them.
We will. 100%.
Yeah. We're very susceptible to attention and persuasion. Compliments will get you everywhere.
They really will.
Yes, they will.
Yeah, we love compliments. Just like a little side note, just let us know that you're thinking about us.
We'll think about you as well.
All right. Yes. Okay, guys. Well,
God bless you.
We love you. God bless.
We love you.
God bless. And trust no one. Especially when it comes to the assassination of your presidents.
That's right.
President. Hopefully there aren't any more. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.